Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Known For, a filmography podcast. This is Bob Shoy.
Hey, it's Becca.
And we're recording this on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, we've got nothing better to do.
Cool, we're trying to squeak out for the end of the year. And it's, for now, our last ever episode of this podcast, so I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And what are we talking about, Becca?
We're talking about the wonderful Chadwick Boseman.
We are. We said a few episodes ago that we'd focus this one on Chadwick Boseman. After his passing this year, we thought, let's do a retrospective of his entire back catalogue. Because unfortunately, it's relatively short.
Yeah.
But there's some of it I haven't seen. Yeah.
Quality material.
And I know that you like biographies, Becca. Biographic films.
I do, yeah.
So you must have enjoyed digging into this.
He does a few.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of them. Quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of bios and a lot of our other weakness, sports movies. As two like non-sporting people both enjoy sports movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we said, he died earlier this year, 2020, after struggling for 4 years with colon cancer, basically without anyone knowing.
Yeah.
It was like a big shock. So as he sort of, his fame increased in the last few years and he's been doing these huge films, some of the biggest films of all time, that whole time he's been secretly battling against colon cancer.
I know, incredible. Which like, is really.
Really amazing, yeah.
Yeah. He's such a powerful presence in his films, and it must have been, so incredibly difficult to conceal that. And he had good reasons, because I think, as soon as anybody knows, if you have any kind of condition like that, you kind of get sidelined from a lot of like stuff. Especially he was, you know, part of the Marvel universe. And I think if they'd have kind of got wind of that, it would have changed his kind of entire career trajectory towards the end.
Maybe, yeah, because it was shortly after he was cast as Black Panther in the Captain America movie, the third Captain America movie, that he was diagnosed.
Yeah.
So it was like before he'd even worked on and made that his own Black Panther movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, and no one knew why he was, when he was filming that. But I'm trying to remember, like, I haven't got a note of this, but I remember I watched a few interviews or clips or read a few clips of interviews and stuff over the last couple of days. And one of them I read, he was basically saying while he was alive, he wanted to use every bit of talent that he'd been given so that when he eventually passed, he had nothing left. Like, basically, like, when he arrives at the pearly gates, he can say, I used everything you gave me.
Yeah. And I feel like I could have watched him for many, many more years.
Yeah, because I feel like he was getting better and better.
But as long as he felt, I hope that he felt satisfied with his achievements, because they're incredible.
So also another thing that came out was quite a famous thing about him was that his tuition at Oxford University, I didn't know it was Oxford University in the UK.
Cool.
He did some tuition here, but that was all paid for by previous subject of our podcast, Denzel Washington. who paid tuitions for, I think, a few different people, but
that's amazing.
To go through their tuition at Oxford University. So
why does Denzel put them through?
I don't know. I think he really believed in Chadwick's case. He really believed in him as an actor. I thought he was a really talented guy, yeah, and wanted to like push him through and make sure he got the opportunities.
Yeah.
But he does do that.
Chadwick's born in South Carolina.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of like prestigious American universities.
I think he wasn't just Oxford that he went to. He went to like a few different places for different things. Oh, cool. I think it was not a degree. See, I haven't got my information, but you know, he did a degree or something, some sort of theatre arts program at Oxford University.
Oh, cool.
So it's like a postgraduate thing.
Mm.
And that was what was what was funded by Denzel. And when he received an award, he famously like. That's when he kind of announced it. He said, I want to say thanks to Denzel Washington, who's in the audience, who actually got me here. I might not have got here if it wasn't for him, because he actually paid for my tuition and stuff.
Yeah. So. We're jumping ahead, but the most recent one that we watched, Ma Rainey's, it was produced by...
That was produced by Denzel Washington.
As well, wasn't it? Yeah. So they've obviously had like a long and probably quite close, if he's funded his education, quite close relationship with him over the years.
Yeah.
It's nice to have somebody of that caliber in your corner.
Well, yeah, it does help. But yeah, so that's actually why this podcast was delayed. You mentioned Ma Rainey's.
Yeah.
That film was just released on the 18th of December, 2020. So that's his final film. It's a posthumous release for him. But we were originally going to do this episode in November. And then we thought, well, we want to cover his last film if we're going to do a whole filmography. Yeah. So we did the Disney one last minute, and then now we can talk about all the films.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have it all, you know, everything, as opposed to just adding in like a little addendum or whatever.
Yeah,
or
we have it not complete stuff. So on IMDb currently, what are his four known for roles?
Films. So Black Panther.
Yes,
I think that's quite an obvious one. Captain America Civil War. Avengers Infinity War. And 42.
Okay, so three of them
are Marvel.
Three out of his four Marvel appearances are in his
top four,
on his known fours. And we generally, when we go through this at the end and sort of rearrange the known fours, try to not have two films from the same franchise.
Yeah.
So definitely
that'll be getting shifted about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we will talk about those four films before we delve into the beginning of his back catalogue.
So do you want to start with Black Panther?
Let's just talk about, we'll include Endgame as well, even though it's not on there. We'll just talk about his role as Black Panther, and we'll go through, we'll do it chronologically. So we'll talk about Civil War, Black Panther, Infinity War, and Endgame.
Yeah.
Captain America Civil War.
So you like cats, Sam? What? Duke shows up dressed like a cat. You don't want to know more?
Your suit. Vibranium?
The Black Panther has been the protector of Wakanda for generations. A mantle passed from warrior to warrior. And now, because your friend murdered my father, I also wear the mantle of king. So I ask you, as both warrior and king, how long do you think you can keep your friend safe from me?
Right, so this is where he kind of gets introduced into the whole ensemble of the Avengers and the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, he is very much like a side character in this. They used it as like to sort of introduce his character slyly before, you know, the main
feature film.
Yeah, you kind of get his origin in this, so you haven't got to waste time in his own film to do that.
Yes.
Which is good, because this film really was an ensemble. It felt like... it wasn't an Avengers movie, but it feels like basically another Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Rather than just a solo Captain America, because it is a huge ensemble. It also introduced Spider-Man.
Yes.
Into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So it really was just like, let's introduce some more characters and really expand this.
Yes. So yeah, you get Black Panther's like a little bit of his origin. Well, how he kind of becomes Black Panther, really, because it's...
Well, you see his father killed in this film.
Yeah. It's genetics, isn't it? It's all kind of like a bloodline.
Well, his dad's like the king of Wakanda, basically, and then he's killed in a terrorist attack and
he takes
passed
his
on to his son. And we talked about the Marvel films a little bit, not majorly in depth, but we both enjoy the Marvel films and going to see them. They're fun, well-made action movies.
Yeah.
You get to see like three of these a year,
incredibly,
basically.
Incredibly like in depth.
Yeah, and I think you get more, the more you put in, the more you get out of it.
Yeah.
I'm not like my whole life is based around these films like some people, but I do always keep up with them and I do find them really fun action films.
Yeah. They're just reliable. Every time you watch one, you know it's going to be...
Yeah, even like, the worst ones are still fun and watchable. And the character of Black Panther, I think when they introduced him, it was the first time they'd really gone off grid of like a more obscure character. So the big thing was like they're introducing Spider-Man in this film.
Yeah.
But they also introduced Black Panther, but people didn't really know who that was. But I feel like after this film, everyone was like, Black Panther's awesome.
The interest was peaked.
Yeah, because they nailed it. Like,
yeah.
I knew of the character before seeing this film.
I mean, we even just like kind of mentioned, and I was like, oh yeah, I definitely remember when Black Panther was introduced in this film, but I kind of don't remember that well, how Spider-Man was introduced. I was like, oh yeah, it was like a secondary thought.
The way Spider-Man was introduced was like, he was very famous.
I think I was just more interested in Black Panther's character because he was more mysterious.
Yeah, he was sort of an unknown entity. We've seen Spider-Man in films before.
Yeah.
And the new Spider-Man, I think, has done really well.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's probably he's age-appropriate Spider-Man, finally.
Yeah.
But no one's ever seen Black Panther on screen, and the way he looks and moves is so different
to
anything.
Unique. Yeah.
And they sort of CG over the costume to make it look very unique.
Yeah, it's great.
But yeah, he really sort of nailed it. And he gives, as Black Panther, I think he gets a really good
response.
The character's so good because he has a lot of presence. He's very regal, but also has like a fun side to him.
Yeah.
That sometimes catches other people off guard, it feels like. They expect him to be very serious, but then he'll like make a joke. But then he's also very regal. Like, it's a really good, interesting character. But yeah, he developed the voice. So this came out, he was also working on a film called Message from the King.
Yes.
That came out around the same time.
Yeah.
And he was filming that when he was cast in this. So he said that he used basically the accent he developed for Message from the King, he sort of repurposed for this.
Right.
Because he wanted it to be a African accent.
Mm-hmm.
And in that he plays a South African character. We'll talk about that film later. But the person who plays his dad in the... in Black Panther and in the Marvel films is from South Africa.
Right, yeah.
So he so the accent is Zosha. I'm probably butchering that pronunciation, but it's X-H-O-S-A. And that guy is Zosha in real life. I'm going to pronounce it Zosha, I might be wrong. He's Zosha in real life. So he developed his accent with him.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so they eventually made that the accent of Wakanda. And when they're speaking in their natural language, they're speaking in Zoshan.
Oh, cool.
So that has been repurposed to be... Because the whole aesthetic of Black Panther is taking bits from all parts of Africa to create a unique thing that takes elements of all the continent.
Yeah.
And gives it this... And adding sci-fi into it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where the voice came from. It's the Zosha people from South Africa.
Interesting. Because it is a really... It's kind of an obvious to someone who isn't as knowledgeable on like specific African accents. It is, I'd say it's an African accent, but the fact that Wakanda doesn't exist, you have to kind of create like an amalgamation of accents to like generate this fictional place.
Yeah. So obviously Civil War was a massive film, introduced his character, everyone wanted to see more of it, and then they released Black Panther, like his solo film.
Which... I loved. I thought Black Panther, I think it's one of the best.
I do, actually. Marvel. It was so hyped when it came out that when I first watched it, you really loved it. But I was like, yeah, it was all right. And then since then, I've watched it again. And after watching it again, I was like, yeah, this is amazing. This is one of the best ones.
I think it's incredible. Like the way that it's executed and all of the characters and the, you know, all of his like female guards and like co-stars and everything are just like cast impeccably, and they're all fantastic actors and actresses, and it's just such a believable, like sometimes you watch like superhero movies and in the back of your mind you're just like, oh, this is so incredible and so like kind of ridiculous. It's not grounded enough, and it like you have that, I don't know, almost like it's not believable, like and it's not real, and it's kind of too
This
crazy
is like sci-fi and crazy.
I know, but it's. I think it's just the whole. I love like the tribal
mm-hmm.
like aspect of it, and
the whole aesthetic of it is amazing.
Yeah, and melting them together, and it's just so unique. I think because the tribal tech amalgamation like together is just like really amazingly executed.
So obviously he had to go through like a lot of training for this role, which he yeah. was already in shape from Civil War. But when this film released, he was already 2 years into his cancer battle.
That's incredible.
Which is amazing. This is an incredibly important film as well. Not only was it the first black lead for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
It was also the, at the time, might still be the only film with a black lead to surpass $1 billion at the box office.
Wow.
So it's a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
It made back its production costs on opening weekend, so which is very rare to happen.
Wow, amazing.
So it was a huge, huge release.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was so, so powerful. Like, all of it was amazing.
I think of the Marvel films, which there was like, I don't know, 25 or something of by this time, I think it's my favourite solo
yeah.
film.
Like, oh, yeah, by
far. Focuses on one character.
It's definitely my favourite. I just love... I don't know, you know, when we went to Japan many mm-hmm. years ago, we always speak about their ability to combine old and new
mm-hmm.
and like tradition and technology. And I think this film has done it for like the African aesthetic.
Mm.
And I think that's why I love it, because what it's definitely it? A balance of like old and new.
Afrofuturism.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just a really cool and underused aesthetic. Like yeah. Afrofuturism is really cool.
Yeah. And I think just aesthetically, it's incredible. And the way that Chadwick, like his character, like moves when he's Black Panther is like so unique. And he's kind of, is just embodies kind of animalistic like characteristics, but is also an incredibly like sophisticated, intelligent, like character.
And it was critically well-received as well, won an Oscar-winning film. I haven't got this up against the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it won costume and score.
Yeah, the costumes are incredible, aren't they?
Yeah. Costume and score, I'm pretty sure.
Because I love the way, when you get to see all the costumes, like the most prominent point is when they're on the cliffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like kind of fighting. Yeah, and it's all like the different, there's kind of like four main tribes, isn't it? And they all have like a really unique... look and feel to
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And
they're all sort of based around different animals, because you've got like the rhino,
yeah.
the gorillas, and obviously the panther.
Yeah. I can't remember the other one. But yeah, all of the tribal characters and like tribes are amazing. And all of the female guard, they're all dressed in the red.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool. I'd have loved to be a fly on the wall when they were coming up with like all of them concepts and like pulling from all different aspects of like African history and symbology and all that.
I really love this. Is just talking about Black Panther now instead of Chadwick, but I really love the gorilla tribe as well. Like the main guy who's like the main gorilla tribe guy, I think's awesome. I forget the actor's name, but he's really good.
Oh yeah, they're up like in the mountains.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Snowy bit.
Yeah, because originally in the comics they're like the rainforest tribe, but he thought, oh, let's make a mountain gorillas because it's more interesting aesthetically to have them like snowy, mountainous.
Yeah.
So they changed them to be mountain gorillas for the film, and I think it really works.
I think one of my favourite costumes is Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman's character's mother, Angela, who played by Angela Bassett, where she's wearing like a white, she's all in white and it's all like lace and like intricate like collar. She's got a big like head.
Oh yeah, I know the one you mean. Yeah,
it's absolutely stunning to look at, but it's so minimalist in like color, but then like incredibly detailed and intricate, and super awesome piece of costume.
So yeah, obviously both big fans of the Black Panther film, and that's the most we'll talk about that character, because then he obviously reprised the role in Infinity War and then Endgame. Which are also both huge. Endgame is the biggest film of all time.
Yeah,
as I'm recording
but it's
this.
Such an ensemble film that he really doesn't get
Infinity
a super
War,
spotlight.
He does not show up until like the last act, because the last act is on Wakanda, and they actually filmed that only 2 weeks after filming wrapped up on Black Panther.
Oh, right.
So basically, that's why all the cast are still there. You know, it's like, oh, we'll just hang around for 2 weeks and then we'll film all that stuff.
Yeah.
With all the Avengers people. Which makes sense. Which is why it feels so seamless when everyone arrives on Wakanda in Infinity War. It feels mm-hmm. so seamless from the Black Panther movie because it was filmed 2 weeks later.
Yeah. Which makes sense because then everything is still fresh, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And then obviously in Endgame, he is like just basically in one scene. Mm. But yeah, you know, like we said, in all through that time, it's when he's going through his cancer battle, but he's in some of the biggest films of all time.
Yeah.
So that's the major role.
Yes.
What's the other film apart from those that's on his known for?
42. Which is about a African-American baseball player.
Yes, Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
So it's a bio.
Yeah.
A sports movie. It's yeah. a sports bio.
Ticking them boxes.
Yeah. Jackie Robinson was the first African-American to play in the major leagues.
Major league, yeah.
Yeah, baseball.
So it's set in 1947. And it basically just focuses on like the racism directed towards him and the troubles he had to go through and kind of like face breaking into the big leagues.
Mm. And like Jackie Robinson's, obviously we don't really know anything about baseball in the UK.
Mm.
But I have heard of Jackie Robinson. But it was interesting learning more about him watching this film.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed this film.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was great.
It was, obviously, for this role, he had to do months of baseball training. He wanted to do his own sort of... He did have a double, I think,
right.
for the baseball scenes, but he was training so much that in the end, like, whenever the double was on, they were doing, like, retake. And he was like, I can do it better, I can do it better. And then eventually he went up and did it, and they're like, yeah, you can do it better. Because he'd been practicing and watching loads of footage of Jackie Robinson and trying to get the moves the same and everything.
I feel like he's... such like a dedicated actor and like incredibly
that's something that's definitely come across
and he researched his characters like incredibly well.
And this was a big film. I remember this coming out and wanting to see it then, but just only got around to watching it for this. This was a really big film, and this was only his second lead role.
Oh wow.
And his first lead role was a very small film, so this was like a very big sort of launching point for him.
Big
this
hitter.
Film. Yeah, a bit, oh, very good. So, yeah, I really liked Harrison Ford's character in this film as well.
Yeah,
he was really good.
He was like a... He owns the club, basically.
Yeah.
And he's like a really no-nonsense, like, manager.
Yeah.
Which you'd have thought at the time would be quite closed-minded.
No.
But he wasn't. He was just like, if you can play, you can play.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter.
Players.
Yeah.
He's quite like a religious guy.
Yeah.
No! No. The next white son of a bitch that opens his mouth, I'll smash his goddamn teeth in.
You can't do that, Jack.
I'm supposed to just let this go on.
These men have to live with themselves.
I have to live with myself, too. Right now, I'm living a sermon out there.
You don't matter now, Jack. You're in this thing. You don't have a right to pull out from the backing of people that believe in you, that respect you, that need you.
Is that so?
If you fight, they won't say that Chapman forced you to. They'll say that you're in over your head, that you don't belong here.
Do you know what it's like having somebody do this to you?
No. No. You do. You're the one living the sermon in the wilderness. 40 days. All of it. Only you.
There's not a goddamn thing I can do about it.
Of course there is. You can get out there and hit. You can get on base and score. You can win this game for us. We need you. Everybody needs you. You're medicine, Jack.
Yeah, I liked the relationship between two characters. I thought they worked really well together, like Harrison Ford and Chadwick.
He was just quite like matter-of-fact.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
But like loyal as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like had his back without wanting everyone to see that he had his back.
Yeah.
So it didn't look like he was favouring
anyone.
Like
favouritism, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I basically tell him like, you have to be strong enough to not react.
Yes.
That's harder than reacting.
Yeah,
like, it's harder to not react. Yeah. But yeah, really good. I really did enjoy the film. Something that's... So obviously, like we said, Jackie Robinson, very famous person in history. They retired the number 42 is the famous thing. That was his number, the number 42.
Mm.
So that's retired in baseball now. And there is every year there's Jackie Robinson Day.
Oh, cool.
But Chadwick, in 2020, he died on Jackie Robinson Day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So quite serendipitous, but...
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Interesting fact. So they're the known force.
Mm.
We will go back to the beginning.
Yes.
And talk about the rest of his films.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that now.
Yeah. Okay, so first is The Express.
Yeah, this was his first film role.
So it's another sports bio.
Whoa. But he isn't the lead in this.
No, he kind of pops up.
It was actually quite fun when we watched these early films, because we said we watch every film that he's in, no matter how small the role is.
Right.
So some of these early films were like, when's he going to show up?
Yeah.
It was almost like a game.
And this is like the last 20 minutes.
Oh, it might even be late. It's like the last 10 minutes.
I really love this film as well. It was really cool. It's college football. Ernie Davis.
Also another sport that we have known nothing about in the UK, American football.
And it was another African-American in like the sporting world and
dealing
with like racism and things like that.
It's a bio of Ernie Davis, who was the first African-American to win the Heisman Trophy, is the big thing.
Yeah.
And he was played by Rob Brown, and I actually really liked him and his character in this as well.
Yeah, I thought it was great casting.
He's really good. Like, quite an understated role.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
So basically, Bozeman shows up.
Also playing a real person, playing a player called Floyd Little.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's all real, isn't it?
Yeah. So basically, at the start of the film, he's like coming out of college and getting like, I'm going to not quite say this right, but like recruited, basically.
Yeah, we know nothing about baseball or American football.
And then you watch his like entire career.
This is Ernie Davis, not Floyd Little, not Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah. So, and when he's getting recruited, the team captain, played by Dennis Quaid, brings along one of his current players to kind of like convince them to join his team kind of thing. And he then does that at the end of his career for Chadwick Boseman's character.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, kind of. It's a good film. It's incredibly small.
Kind of like just
Chadwick.
The situation repeats itself at the end, but he's the famous
one.
Yeah,
he's the tutor this time.
Yeah.
And recruiting like the new young star.
The up and comings.
Yeah. And the new young star is Chadwick Boseman at the end.
Yeah.
But he is in one scene, but I actually really liked him in it. He's very like... sort of, he's like dancing around the scene, very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like one scene.
Yeah.
Fun. After that, the only one that you didn't watch.
Right. Which is?
The Kill Hole.
Mm.
This was his first lead role.
Okay.
And I almost didn't watch this film because it has kind of a bit of a stinky reputation.
Mm.
It's not got great reviews.
It's a 4.4.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I did find it kind of dull.
Right.
I think when it came out, it was very misunderstood because people thought, oh, it's a war movie, because he plays a war vet, basically.
It's in the Iraq War, isn't it?
Yeah, an Iraq war vet. But it's really not a war movie. It's more about it's like a meditation on what killing does to a person.
Right, the repercussions.
And him dealing with it, like PTSD stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did terrible things, like basically committed war crimes during that war and coming to terms with it, and like, was that the right thing to do in that moment? And
right.
It's a little bit pretentious and doesn't really have the clout to back up the messages it's trying to do.
No.
It's one of them stories
just
where
he
has to go and hunt. He's a bit of a mercenary, where he has to go and hunt down someone who he used to fight alongside
right.
after. So it's a cool concept, but it just doesn't quite pull it off. Mm-hmm. It's really slow. What is quite cool about it, there are many scenes where it goes back to like a support group for war vets, and all the other people apart from him are real war vets. So it's like a real support group. So those scenes are really good because it's real
genuine
vets having a real support group, and you can really feel like kinship between them when they're like sort of telling their stories, and then, you know, they'll be deep, and then they'll make a crack a joke, and they'll all be laughing, and they can relate to what each other are saying. So it was really interesting to do those scenes with the real people and have him in there amongst them. It made it feel more genuine.
Yeah.
And, you know, randomly have like Billy Zane playing the support group leader, which is just a bizarre bit of casting, but it was good. Those scenes were good, but the film didn't quite pull off what it was trying to do. It was a bit too slow. The kill hole.
Okay.
And after that, it was his first actual lead in 42.
Yeah.
Which he spoke about. And then after that, it's another sports movie.
Draft Day, 2014. This time, NFL.
Yeah.
Something else we don't know anything about.
This is football, right? NFL is American football. Same thing. So that shows how little we don't know. The fact that we actually say that with a questioning tone, we don't know about American sports.
this is football.
I mean, come on, American listeners. Tell me how much you know about rounders. Tell me how much you know about cricket. Not a lot. But Draft Day, this is very similar to The Express in the way that he's not the main character. He has a very small role. Probably more of a role because he does crop up all the way through, but just in small scenes.
Yeah.
I liked the concept of this film. Despite not knowing anything about what was happening. I don't even know what a draft day is. I don't know what a draft is. I don't know what was happening. But
it's like when they get recruited, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't understand. It's like a big event. I don't know. But anyway, Kevin Costner is plays a character called Sonny Weaver, and he's like the head of a team.
Yeah.
Again, we're butchering this. But the concept of the film is it takes place over one day. It is draft day. So you're following his like ridiculous pressure and stress.
It's all about like
throughout that day,
quick decisions and like making deals and like trading players and stuff to kind of get
Moneyball.
I think essentially, as like a team, depending on how well you've done, you get a certain amount of points to spend on new players, right?
Well, you get first pick,
right? Yeah,
and then, you know, if you don't get first pick, then the player you want might have gone. So, and it's playing mind games with other coaches about like you don't want to pick him.
And then, like,
so
trading.
So then you can pick him. Because
he picked somebody else and then traded him off.
Yeah,
and stuff.
It's all sorts of trades. It really did remind me of Moneyball a bit with Brad Pitt.
Right.
Like those telephone dealings and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a lot about, like, this Kevin Costner's character's life dramas, as well as making these decisions and people thinking he's making the wrong decisions and stuff like that.
Kind of
around.
Like lots of, like, bluffing and sidestepping, bullshitting other people and
but
stuff.
You also cut to these sort of potential young star players.
Yeah.
There's like three or four of them that you cut between.
Yeah.
And that you see them taking phone calls from Kevin Costner and the other coaches and the team captains or whatever. And Chadwick Boseman plays a player called Vontae Mack.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not like the top pick.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like got a lot of like spark to him, but he's not the top pick by any means.
Yeah,
and bit so you're
underdog.
Seeing him make a phone call, say, "Do you want to come play for us? Maybe we'll pick you later on," and sort of ending up him being like a real prime pick in amongst them. But you're watching;
it's like a hidden gem.
Yeah,
that ball you want to take? That there's a mistake, Callahan. Callahan's a poser.
Yeah, and what do you know that every scout and coach on earth does not?
I know we got sacked 12 times last year.
No, it was 11. It was 11 times.
Yeah, well, four were mine in one game.
Yeah, I remember. I saw your highlight reel. I also remember that he beat you.
Watch it again. Don't watch me. Watch him. Watch me sack him four times in one game. Then watch what happens after.
When he actually does get picked, eventually... So the thing is, I actually thought, despite having a small amount of screen time, I really thought Chadwick was great in this.
Yeah.
Because every time he had a scene, his character felt very believable.
Genuine. Yeah.
Like, he's a little bit showy. He's got, like, the sparkly phone and the jewelry and stuff like that. He's, like, a young, showy player, but he had, like, a lot of heart.
Mm.
And like when he actually got picked, like he really was quite an emotional scene, I thought. Mm. Like his reaction was so, felt so real.
Yeah.
I thought he was great for having such a small role.
He really kind of, even though I don't know anything about the sport, embodied that character and made me like really like feel it.
And when he got like picked for whatever, I had no idea what was going on, but I was like, yeah. He got the thing that made him happy, whatever that was. Yeah, this is a film that really wants you to know a bit about NFL. And what is it? NFL.
Yeah.
It wants you to know about that to really understand what's going on, but we just watched it anyway and it wasn't bad.
Yeah. I feel Kevin Costner's like Del Boy. Wheeler-dealer.
No American knows who Del Boy is.
Exactly.
There we go. That's confusing for you, just as this film was for
us. He's a wheeler-dealer.
Exactly. So let's move on to another bio.
Get on up.
Get on up.
James Brown.
Yeah, he's a sex machine.
Fact. Oh my God. I feel like Chadwick's like fairly unrecognisable in this one.
He's playing James Brown.
Yeah, but it's... Yeah, it's really good. Basically,
did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
Hmm.
I think I don't know very much about James Brown, but he's quite like a difficult personality.
Yeah,
like the film came across. he's quite
a crazy guy.
Yeah,
really nuts.
Yeah,
And quite a challenge to portray.
Hmm.
Y'all can't act like y'all don't know what time it is. Better get them hards out of them sticks ready. If I start raining out fines.
I've been elected spokesman on behalf of the band.
Spokesman? Elected?
We asked to be paid on time. We haven't been paid in weeks. We asked to have scheduled days off. Every day off we get, you make us rehearse. We asked to get paid for recordings, but you just include it in our salary.
Teddy. Go on, wait outside.
Yes, sir.
Fellas, I hear you. I really do. And I appreciate your honesty. Can't be easy, no, sir. Yeah. You got your grievances, yeah. You got yourselves to think about. Hell, you're men. I dig it.
I don't think you understand, Mr. Brown, sir. We know you owe the government back taxes. Your restaurant, radio stations, your recording studios, labels, all different businesses, all kind of cash passing between them, unaccounted for. It's a mess, Mr. Brown. If you want us to be a part of it, we're gonna need our cash too, right now.
Most of all, none of us wants to be fined for anything, ever again.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna think about it. That's all.
You son of a bitch!
Son, what you say to me?
Fuck you.
You better get on out of here right... You ain't gonna make me come out myself! You better get on out of here right now! Go, get the hell out!
I did like this film, but I didn't love this film.
I didn't
like,
love the character. I don't love James Brown's character.
No.
Like, how he was portrayed, I thought he was a bit of a...
It was a bit of an arsehole.
Yeah.
He didn't pull any punches, though. Like, he was like, no, this is what he was like.
Yeah.
And his friend...
And I like films that like are like that. I mean, it's really, like, you know, just...
Doesn't just, like, paint them to be the perfect performer that you want it to be. Yeah, because his... Nelson Ellis plays Bobby Bird, who's, like, the one friend that, like, sticks by him.
Yeah.
And you kind of almost see James Brown through his eyes more than anything.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who's got to put up with his bullshit, basically.
Mm. But then you see a lot about... Like where he came from and stuff, and it was rough, like extreme poverty, and
And his mum played by Viola Davis, first collaboration with her,
but she wasn't really interested in
not a great mother, let's say.
So yeah, it was really raw. I thought like the whole film was quite like fascinating and difficult to watch.
And obviously, the major thing is James Brown is a very energetic performer.
Yeah.
Let's say to say the least, he's he is unique. So to try and replicate those moves, obviously very difficult. But Chadwick did do all of his own dancing in this film. Do all that James Brown, all those James Brown moves. So he spent 2 months training in singing and dancing for this role.
Amazing.
And
he's so dedicated.
He does do all those moves.
He's so invested.
Yeah. And yeah, like I said, I really liked it. I didn't like it as much as I thought I would.
But I think
it's because James Brown is not likable.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It wasn't Chadwick's performance, because I think that's why I didn't like it, because it was so believable. Mm. Like, if we were supposed to like James Brown, we would have.
Yeah. Other unfortunate thing, so his co-star, Nelson Ellis, who had to play Bobby Bird, I thought he was really good in this.
Yeah.
But he also unfortunately died after this film. 2017, he passed, and that was, well, he had substance abuse problems. So he actually kicked it.
Yeah.
But from alcohol withdrawal syndrome, ended up having heart failure. So that's really terrible to go through all that and then overcome it, and then that be the thing that finishes you off. Yeah. Is such a shame, because I thought he was so good in this. He was like the heart, because James Brown was not likable.
Mm.
But he was.
He kind of like, anytime anything got kind of like rubbed up the wrong way, he was there to like kind of smooth it over.
He was the only person that stuck with James Brown, even when James Brown was at his most monstrous.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, good film. Not my favourite, but a very like interesting character.
Yeah.
And interesting
amazing performance. Yeah.
Yeah, all the scenes where he's on stage basically dancing and singing are great.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Are you ready for the night train? Are you ready for the night train?
So
next is Gods of Egypt.
Yeah.
This is
I've just written woof underneath this.
This is not a great film by any means.
This was like a fascinating failure.
It's like, what's the equivalent film that's actually all right?
Avengers.
Huh?
Avengers. That's what this felt like to me. It felt like a superhero movie, but they used all the Egyptian gods instead.
Yeah, but they've done there's other like films about gods and stuff, and like
Clash of the Titans, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, or like the Romans and stuff like that.
Hmm.
This one, it felt short.
It feels like this sort of idea never gets pulled off properly.
Mm. It's a bit like, what's the one where Brad Pitt was in?
Troy.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of got that. I think they're trying to get that vibe, but they really didn't.
It's not
didn't
as good
pull
as
it
Troy.
Off. No, exactly.
It's very flashy. There's something about it which I actually kind of love the audacity of it.
Yeah.
It felt like a little bit like the Thor movies. Like where they get gods and make it very sci-fi and have very flashy effects.
Yeah, yeah. But the effects must have been mental.
This must have cost a fortune. I think it lost a lot of money. Yeah. It's an absolute mess.
It must have bombed.
And I'll say this, I don't think Chadwick's very good in it. I think this is his weakest performance.
Yeah, he's like,
I don't know what accent
weird...
he's trying to do.
Who's he supposed to play?
He's Thoth.
Huh?
Thoth or Thoth, depending on where you're from the pronounce. I think the actual pronunciation is supposed to be Thoth, but everyone says Thoth. Who's the god of writing, magic, wisdom, and the moon. I looked that up.
So he's quite...
he's the birdhead man.
Oh, yeah.
He lives in a library and, like, multiplies his body to read all the information and speaks in a very, like... I don't know what accent it's supposed to be. He's normally not bad at accents, but I don't know what this is trying to do.
Rich with generous compost. Colourful. Mainly in the green and red spectrums. Variegated varieties with inflorescences composed of multiple florets, each with a modified calyx.
Wise lord of the sacred word, we seek your counsel.
Once a weed, uprooted and burned, now prized for the vigor of its oils and the sustenance of its leaves. But what is its truth? You, turn around.
You prefer the view from behind?
No, I... Well, yes. You know I can't lie. Turn. I'm not going to risk looking at those tricky eyes of yours. 47.
Excuse me?
The percentage of knowledge I have so far recorded, I'm not even half done.
Toth, I only need...
The answer to the riddle of the Sphinx. A child...
His personality is basically like a piece of cardboard as well.
And come back and relate to me.
It's... The concept of this could have been good, but I don't know how. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a seed of something good.
I wonder how he got roped into it.
Like, Chadwick's character isn't, like, a big part of it, to be honest.
No, he's quite a small
He doesn't show up until quite late on. You see him near the beginning, but then as a role in the film, it isn't until quite late on.
So, moving on.
Yeah, it's not good.
Give it a miss. Next was Captain America Civil War, but let's talk about Message from the King.
So I actually think Message from the King was made first, but released after.
Right,
because he said on the interviews for Civil War, where he's playing Black Panther, he developed an accent for a film he's currently filming, and he's going to use that for Black Panther.
Yeah.
So Message from the King must have been filmed first.
Yeah.
Because I think it had a distribution issue, so it was delayed in distribution and finally picked up by Netflix. Mm-hmm. So released after on Netflix.
So I really like this film.
It was quite brutal.
Yeah.
It was way more like brutal and gritty than I was expecting.
Yeah. I liked it, and then at the end I was like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, like it's a slow burn.
Mm.
It starts slow. It starts more like a detective movie or something.
Mm.
And then it gets, like, very brutal and gritty. The middle chapter almost feels like a John Wick style film.
Yeah.
Like, lots of combat and using what's around you. Use a chain most of the time. You normally use a chain as a weapon, which is kind of rough.
Yeah.
And then the ending, I thought, was good.
Yeah.
Like, it really... Yeah, a lot of people say... So this isn't a beloved film. A lot of people say it's too slow, it's too messy.
It is a slow burn, but I felt like... Yeah, it wasn't really a reveal. It was just like some information.
And it's not a huge budget movie. Some of the complaints that people have, like, oh, it feels like a TV movie. Well, it kind of is. It's a Netflix movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to have a big budget to be a good film. I actually did enjoy this film.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
And like we said, this is where he developed the accent. His character is South African in this.
Yeah.
So basically, he plays a character called Jacob King, who is searching for his missing sister in LA. So he flies over to LA from South Africa and is on the trail of his sister that's gone missing and gets embroiled in all sorts of, you know, LA shenanigans.
That's a light way of putting it.
Yeah, well, you know, the rough side of LA.
LA shenanigans.
It's the rough side of LA, like in both terms of the rough side of LA, because you've got like the sort of the poorer areas of LA, which he's like living in, and there's drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you've got the real rich side of LA with scumbag filmmakers and stuff. So it's both bad sides of LA that he's dealing with and traveling through.
Excuse me. I'm looking for Zico.
There's nobody here called Zico.
Mm-hmm.
What's this about, my friend?
I'm looking for my sister, Bianca.
Miyaka Zagosin. Zico knows her. He might be able to help him find her.
There's nobody here called Zico.
We can't help you.
He's so like street smart because I think he's from South Africa.
Yeah, he grew up in quite like a impoverished part of South Africa.
Yeah,
looks when you see the flashbacks. And
so
stuff.
Nothing really phases him. No. Really,
he's very like calm.
Yeah, the whole time, and he's kind of like he's just like executing his plan, kind of thing, to like find
and
her
people.
And people. But he is kind of like he's like pulling things together, figuring it out. And he's fairly like deductive,
yeah, and it's
with
not,
it all, and quite matter of fact, and like
it's not really
calm
a positive
and calculated.
Film.
No,
just because a plot line resolves, different plot lines resolve, they didn't always resolve in ways that are good.
No,
there's multiple plot lines that they just end in a way that felt more realistic, but are a downer.
Yeah,
it's not the cheeriest of films.
But I liked the ending,
mm-hmm.
which obviously,
oh, the very ending,
yeah,
right,
can't reveal,
yeah,
was really cool. It was kind of like, oh, awesome.
It made a lot of things make more sense.
Yeah.
In hindsight, yeah.
But I liked that wasn't revealed until the end.
Mm.
Like, that was a cool part of the film.
Mm. Yeah, a very underrated film, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Marshall.
Is that another bio? So he's playing Thurgood Marshall, another famous historical figure that I've heard of and know roughly but didn't know enough about. So this was like a real educational experience for me. He, very famous lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first African-American Supreme Court justice. And basically this film covers one of his... It focuses on just one of the cases rather than be like a lifetime bio. It's like it zooms in to be about one of his most famous...
His most poignant.
Like defining cases, yeah. So it's a legal drama.
How could a man have a fair trial when he's denied counsel of his choice? When the members of his race are eliminated from service on his jury, when... Fear and bias against his race are the central points of the case against him. In Europe right now, the forces of tyranny have mobilized behind the vision of a so-called master race. And here in America, our differences aren't supposed to matter. Here, we're promised equal protection under the law. Nothing complicated about that. That promise has not been realized, not even close. Not in Birmingham, Alabama, nor in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and certainly not here in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
So we're on to his fourth biography now.
Yeah. But I really love how he advocates for like the black community in like throughout history, like in really...
Oh, the character.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
also Chadwick Boseman like doing all of these like bios and stuff like that of...
Oh, they're all very like prominent... African-American
figures.
People, yeah. He's
yeah.
done sports, music,
yeah.
legal system.
Yeah, I love that.
Figures, yeah.
Bringing them to the fore.
There was also a performance of Thurgood. Actually, that version's called Thurgood. This one's called Marshall.
Right.
But by Lawrence Fishburne also played this character.
Oh, cool.
I couldn't find anywhere to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically when Lawrence Fishburne did it, it was a stage performance.
Right.
It was basically a monologue, like a feature-length monologue
as
this character. And apparently it's amazing, and a lot of people say it's one of Lawrence Fishburne's greatest performances. But I couldn't find anywhere to watch it.
No, that's a downer.
When we did Lawrence Fishburne, so we didn't get to see that. So now we got to see someone else portray the same character in a film.
Because Kate Hudson's in it.
Mm-hmm.
She's like the main... She's kind of like the main woman on the stand, kind of.
Yeah,
he's kind of unraveling this series of events.
So she's the. I always get American legal system confused, but she's the She's the one
plaintiff
that he is defending against.
Yeah,
his client
is there. Is her like
attacker
handyman at the
house? Exactly. Yeah, he's the handyman at the house, and so basically. Chadwick as Thurgood Marshall is defending a black man, a young black man who's been accused of rape and attempted murder.
Yeah.
And she, Kay Hudson, is the accuser. That's the word I'm looking for. That's what I was looking for before.
Yeah.
She's the accuser and he's defending this man he believes is innocent.
But I guess when it was set...
At that time, it would definitely be like, oh, he's obviously guilty. He's a
bad guy. It's like he...
And, well, you say at that time, you know, not much has changed.
Yeah,
actually.
Okay, he would have just been kind of like carted off because what she says goes, basically. Yeah. Which
and
is,
she's a wealthy woman as well.
Of like good standing in the community and her husband is some important douchebag.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's interesting. It's like everything is stacked against this guy.
Yeah.
But...
And I think that's why it's so, like, was one of his most, like, poignant cases.
Yes.
Because he unraveled...
It felt impossible.
...this, complicated situation where everybody was basically not really giving him
all the
information.
It's almost like impossible to take this case on.
Yeah.
It really reminded me of the film that came out, I don't know if it was this year or last year, I think it was last year, Just Mercy with Michael B. Jordan.
Mm.
And he's defending Jamie Foxx in that.
Yeah.
Very, very like similar sort of film.
Yeah.
Which that film was great.
Circumstance.
That might be one of my favourites from last year, actually. Mm-hmm. Just Mercy. That was a really good film. But that's not this film. This is a good film as well. I prefer Just Mercy, but this is also a good film.
Yeah, I like this. I liked it a lot.
I think this is one of his most sort of like well-known films as well.
Yeah.
I thought I was expecting this to be on his known force.
Yeah.
Because it's one I always see sort of touted about.
I think it's like a really important role as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. It was awesome.
So moving along, we've got three more films.
Then we have the spate of Black Panther, Infinity War and Endgame.
Yes.
And after that, let's talk about 21 Bridges.
How are you going to do this?
There are 21 bridges in and out of Manhattan. Shut them down. Three rivers, close them. Four tunnels, block them. Stop every train that leaves the island. Amtrak, PATH, New Jersey Transit, LIRR, Metro North, and loop the subways. Then,
we flood the island with blue.
So this is the same directors as the guys that did both Avengers movies. It's in Infinity War, Endgame.
Okay, yeah.
And also Captain America Civil War. They just didn't do Black Panther, but they did the other three that he's in.
Yeah.
So the Russo brothers. And they actually gave him the script to this at the premiere for Infinity War.
Amazing.
Yeah, the night of the Infinity War premiere, they gave it to him. And he took it and it was just like, I'll read it, but tell me one thing.
Mm.
Is my character dead? Because even the cast didn't know what the ending of Infinity War meant for their characters.
Oh, yeah, shit.
This was a good concept.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely wasted.
Yeah. So basically, Boseman's on the hunt for these two guys who kind of shoot down quite a few cops.
Yeah, it's like a shootout and they gun down a lot of cops.
And he's a NYPD detective and he says... Basically, where the title comes from, 21 Bridges, is close all of New York, kind of Manhattan
island.
Close the 21 bridges surrounding it and like...
Lock them in.
We'll do like a big manhunt, basically.
They get on the scene so that there's no time they would still be on the island.
Yeah.
So they're like, it's the like middle of the night.
Yeah.
Just until like 5 a.m. or whatever. Or I don't know whatever time it is. Close the bridges.
Yeah.
And we can get these guys because they take down a lot of police officers.
Yeah.
And
they're
big
kind of
thing,
hot on the trail.
And the big thing for him is when he was a kid, his dad was a cop and his dad was killed.
Yeah.
In the line of duty. So now he has a real vendetta against cop killers. So he's known as the guy who kills cop killers, basically.
Yeah.
And he's quite like a brutal, aggressive guy who doesn't think twice about killing someone if they're a cop killer.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of concepts going on in this film. You've got this cop killer hunting cop.
Mm.
You've got with a tragic past and you've got the like, bridges being shut down and all these concepts, but none of them go anywhere.
They're all wasted. Also, his co-star, Sienna Miller, is kind of... what's her character? She's like a... She's not a cop, but she's like a... Some sort of detective or something.
Yeah, I can't remember. We watched this a while ago. I wanted to like this.
But there's kind of crosswise, isn't there? It's like It's like about dirty police and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, these films always come down to the dirty police. It just feels like it sets up a lot of concepts and doesn't pay any of them off. Like, the Bridges thing barely comes into the plot. The film is named after it, and it barely comes into the plot.
And also, like, it's a massive thing because that had never been done before. Like, it's a whole, like, oh, my God, we're shot in Manhattan kind of thing.
It just feels like it barely factors into the plot.
Yeah, you don't even really see
any bridges. It's for, like, the first 20 minutes, it's like, yeah, show me a bridge.
It's like a thing.
Yeah, and then it's just not mentioned again.
Yeah.
And the cop killer thing, you think it's going to... I kept thinking it was going to come back, like... Oh, he's going to wrestle with that morality thing, but it doesn't really come back to him.
A lot of threads are just left.
It feels like it needed more time in the oven.
Yeah.
They needed more time to work this script because there's a lot of good concepts that are just not utilized.
It's only like an hour and 40 as well. It's so short. I felt like it got chopped to bits.
Yeah. It needed more time in the oven. Either it got edited to pieces or it wasn't needed a rewrite. There's something missing.
It's like almost there as well.
You mentioned Sienna Miller.
Yeah.
His classic story of Chadwick Boseman being a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
She had demanded, because she's the co-lead, basically.
Yeah.
She had said, well, you know, equal pay.
Yeah.
And the studio wouldn't match the pay.
What the hell?
So Chadwick actually donated part of his pay to her so that they would have the same pay. So he took a cut to bolster hers up.
Fair play to him. But also depressing that that still happens in this day and age.
He didn't have to do that, but he, which is great on him, but he shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, like I said, concepts
don't pay
there.
Off. It's almost there.
They just, the things that are set up don't factor in enough to the overall plot. It turns into a very generic, like, hunting people down cop movie, and rather than playing into the things that it sets up that are the unique ideas. Yeah.
Anyway, next, The Five Bloods. Duff Live Bloods.
Yeah, it's a Spike Lee joint.
So this is about some Vietnam vets.
Yeah. It's like a treasure hunt. It's really weird. He plays Stormin Norman, who you only see in flashbacks.
Yes, because his character...
He was killed, like, passes killed in action. Away.
Yeah.
So you only see him in flashbacks, which was really weird because we watched this the day of his death.
Oh, and the whole
film was about he died, a hero. Yeah. So it was really weird the day we watched this. But he was basically this Vietnam, the squad leader.
Yeah, there's a group of guys. They come across some, it was like treasure, wasn't it, basically? Like
gold.
Gold.
Yeah, gold.
They bury it out in Vietnam and kind of make a pact between them all to go and get it. Yeah.
And that they'll also retrieve Norman's body and give him a proper burial.
Yeah.
We bury it for now. They ask, we say the VC got it. They don't, we come back and collect.
You mean rip it off?
We ain't ripping off shit. Who feel like they're ripping something off? We was the very first people that died for this red, white, and blue. Yeah, that's right. It was a soul brother. Christopher Zadix at the motherfucking Boston Massacre. We've been dying for this country from the very get. Hoping one day they give us our rightful place. All they give us was a foot up our black asses. But fuck that. I say the USA owe us. We built this bitch.
So what you saying, blood?
I'm saying we repossess this gold. Like they about to come repossess your Casio convertible now. We repossess this gold for every single black boot that never made it home. Every brother and sister stolen from Mother Africa to Jamestown, Virginia, way back in 1619. We give this gold to our people. You feel that? You feel it? Now let's bury our gold.
Reparations.
Bloods.
So basically, it's a bunch of old guys, all still black
trying to,
squad.
Yeah, still trying to keep it secret, and then it kind of like slipping slowly because one of them's like son.
Oh,
kind
he
of, like,
comes
forces
along with
himself.
Them.
He's like, I know what you're doing, like, and kind of blackmails his way onto the trip.
I like the cast, and I like the idea, and I like the camaraderie between these like bunch of old black Vietnam vets going back there. And I felt like it started really strong.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of lost its way. It went way off track. Like, by the end, I was like, what is even happening? This has gone just way nuts.
And it's like a bit, It's hard, like, I feel like they didn't quite decide on the tone. Mm. It's like a bit of a comedy, a bit of an action, a bit of like a, almost like, not...
It's a drama as well. Yeah, you have like, the dramatic like a, stuff between the yeah. son and his father and stuff. And there's Jonathan Majors in, who I love Jonathan Majors. I think he's great. So there's like good cast members, but I just, I don't know what happened. I love the concept and I love the start, but I just felt like the direction it went in was...
Yeah.
Wacky, and they're all just bizarre.
I don't know, old, stubborn men.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's good and it's annoying at the same time because yeah. it's like, oh, the characters are like all really unique and interesting, but then when it kind of like starts unraveling, you're just like, oh, for fuck's sake, guys.
It was actually a reworking of an old script that had been rattling around for quite a few years.
Oh, cool.
The original script was called The Last Tour,
right.
And it was basically the same concept, bunch of Vietnam vets go back.
Mm.
And then, you know, kept getting pushed back and reworked and stuff. And eventually Spike Lee took it
mm-hmm.
and said, I'm going to change this concept. This is a bunch, this is like an all-black squad now.
Mm.
And it just changed it around enough and made it into a Spike Lee version of that original script that kept getting passed around.
Yeah, that's cool.
And this was a Netflix film. So this was like kind of very big deal.
Mm.
Big get, like big stars and, you know, big name director for mm-hmm. Netflix to get. There is talk of Chadwick potentially. So this is kind of going to date this podcast because the Oscar nomination announcements for 2021 mm-hmm. will be announced in like the second week of January, two mm-hmm. weeks after this comes out. So right. I'm really speculating on things that by the time you hear this, you might know the answers to. But there is speculation that he might be up for Best Supporting Actor for this film.
Mm. I really did like his character in this one.
Yeah, because he's so heroic in it, because you only see him in flashbacks and you're seeing him the way they remember him as being this heroic, amazing leader.
Yeah.
Who's like real no-nonsense.
Yeah.
Just like a great leader, basically.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I like the idea. I like the way it started.
It just didn't quite have that. It's just like something a little bit missing.
But it was
good.
Right, so let's talk about his last film.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, so the last few films we talked about, 21 Bridges was his last theatrically released film
mm-hmm.
of his lifetime. The Five Bloods was
released
the final film released before his death.
Yeah.
And then the next film is his actual final film and was released after his death. Mm. This film just came out at the time of recording.
So it's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
She's going to show you her Black Bottom. Yeah.
Chicago, 1927.
Yeah.
Ma Rainey is a really famous blues singer.
Mm.
She was famous at the time, really.
Mm.
In small circles in like the black community.
Mm.
She was quite a big name, and she had quite a lot of like gravitas within the music industry.
Very no nonsense
bullshit
woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
She knows what she wants.
But fair play to her.
Yeah.
She's worked hard to earn it and she doesn't take any shit.
Yeah. This film was one that I liked the film a lot.
Yeah.
But I loved the performances of the two leads.
Yeah.
I thought the two lead performances were amazing and the film was good.
Mm. So Chadwick and Viola Davis.
Yes.
Yeah. They were amazing. So it's basically set on like one day.
Yeah, it's adapted from a stage play.
Yeah.
By, what's the writer's name? August Wilson.
Mm.
So the same guy who wrote the stage play for Fences we talked about on the Denzel Washington episode, mm-hmm. which also had Viola Davis in.
So Chadwick plays...
So it feels like that, though. It feels like that where it's one set. It's yeah. just a recording studio. Yeah, one day yeah. at a studio.
So he plays the house, like her band, like the one of the trumpeters.
He's the trumpet player.
Yeah. And they arrive and are sort of like practicing in the basement kind of thing and waiting on Ma Rainey, Viola Davis's character, to arrive so they can start recording, which she is a little bit reluctant to do because she knows that it's kind of giving away some of her kind of power, as it were, because then she won't have to do it in person. And it's an important thing to do for like posterity.
It's that thing, it's kind of what we talked about on the...
the white man's Pam, just Pam Grier episode. Make money out of her.
The like black music was suddenly getting popular and making money. So it was great that they were getting exposed. But then the only people who had the recording studios were white people. So they were just sort of like using the black people's music to make money for themselves.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a double-edged thing, just like the blaxploitation film movement, where it's like, great, like black people are getting roles or music at that time and getting out there, but at the cost of being exploited by more white people.
Yeah.
So what's the better option? Like it's kind
all
of...
all have to go through this, the kind of process created the only, by the, you know, white music owners and everything.
But the only thing with this character is she knows that's the score.
Yeah.
So she's going to squeeze what she can out of them and not take it easily.
Yeah.
Make them work for it.
Yeah. Which is great. Her character's phenomenal.
Yeah, really good.
And she's brilliant in it.
Yeah.
As is Chadwick, really.
I think they're both... I think this is his best performance.
Yeah.
And this, talking of Oscar nom, like a lot of people are saying this is like almost a shoo-in for like lead actor and Oscar nom.
Yeah.
For next year.
What is you? I don't see your name in lights.
Oh, I just play the piece, whatever they want. I don't criticize other people's music.
I ain't like you, color. I got talent.
Oh,
me and this horn, we's tight. If my daddy had a note I was gonna turn out like this, he would have named me Gabriel.
Oh.
I'm gonna get me a band and make me some records. I done give Mr. Stutterman some of my songs I wrote, and he say he gonna let me record them when I get my band together. I just got to finish the last part of this song. I got style.
Oh, everybody got style. Style ain't nothing but keeping the same idea from beginning to end. Everybody got it.
Everybody can't play like I do.
He's great.
It's
so powerful.
Very
I don't want to talk too much
character.
About the storyline because it's something you just have to like watch. Watch it. It's more of an experience.
He's a very talented young musician.
He kind of
who
knows
has
it.
A lot of anger.
Yeah.
He's cocky, but he's angry, so he can't always...
But it's emotional, and he doesn't know how to kind of like...
He needs a counsellor or something, is what his character needs.
Oh, yeah, but 1927.
No, exactly. So he's dealing with tragedy.
Musically
and with cockiness, but he can't always do that. Like that anger behind it all bubbles over again and again.
He
he's
can't
fighting against it.
In the correct... ways because he's still oppressed, even though he comes across as like free and easy and in control. There's still oppression, and there's still he still can't have and do what he wants, and he can't be appreciated for how talented he is.
And he's getting used as well. Like they're trying to get him to write songs because they want his sound, but they don't want his sound. They just want him to write songs.
They don't
songs.
Want him. They just no. want, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like you said, Ma Rainey herself as a person was famous at the time and famous now. So that the weird thing about this is it is based on all real people, but it's not a bio.
Yeah.
It's a fictional story based on real people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, again, like during filming, obviously this is right near the end of Chadwick's lifetime. And he was undergoing like kind of quite intense treatment all the way through filming this. But the rest of the cast, again, no one knew.
Yeah.
So he's filming this.
And
going,
his performance is like...
It's powerful.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
I felt like the scenes where he's talking about death were so intense.
Poignant.
Because he knows he's facing it. Like in real life,
Yeah.
He knows he's facing it, and it felt like he was channeling that.
Yeah.
I felt like if I was on set with him, and when he was doing those scenes, if I didn't know, which none of them did, I'd be like, whoa, like I would be...
How, yeah, what's what going on here fuck? Kind of thing.
Yeah, like this performance, it's so
well, like
from
you said,
the heart, it feels like. It feels like he's really throwing some of his own anger that he would have had into it.
Yeah. Well, like you said at the start, he just wanted to kind of give it his all.
Yeah.
And like not have anything
this feels
left
like
in the tank.
He knew it was the last film he was going to make and he's thrown everything into it.
Yeah. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
And his character isn't even... You feel for him and it's definitely a tragic character, but he's not particularly likable.
He's not 100% sympathetic.
Mm.
You like his talent and you like his swagger, but then when you start sort of scratch underneath that swagger, you're like, oh, he needs help, basically. Yeah. He needs help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, I don't know, in modern times, most talented people do get the help they need because I think everybody's got problems, but I think if you channel that into music, it kind of exacerbates. Mm. And I think talented people in that era, they live very short lives because of the pressure of it all.
Yeah, so he's not only got his own tragic past, he's also got, like, you know, the race relation stuff. This is about the people from the South going north because there was more opportunities for them. But then there wasn't when they got there and dealing with that. Mm. Like, it's about a lot. It's a lot. It's a very simple story. Like we say, it takes one day in a recording studio. But underneath the simple story, it has a lot to say.
Yeah.
Which is what I think August Wilson as a writer is known for.
Yeah. Not a lot happens like story-wise, but a lot happens if you read between the lines.
Yeah. Which is what we said about Fences.
Yeah.
It's about a lot, but it's a relatively small scope, but it's a huge scope if you just pay attention to everything that they're talking about and what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, so good. I love Viola Davis's character as well in this.
Viola Davis is
brilliant.
Just a brilliant, brilliant actress. Yeah, she's great.
The costumes were incredible.
Mm.
Really, really awesome. For something that's such small scale in terms of like it happens in one place over one day, like it's really intricately done and like so accurate and believable. And yeah, absolutely incredible film. So definitely up there.
Yeah.
On our you must watch this list.
So you did sort of three films relatively close together that were for Netflix. For Message for the King, Five Bloods, and Ma Rainey, all Netflix films. But there we go. That's I think we've run through all of his back catalogue now.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is take a little break, come back in a minute, and talk about which ones are our four favourites, and sort of talk about what we think the four that should be his. Known for on IMDb. This is what he should be known for as a span of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So, see you in a minute.
Yep. Right. So, this is the part where we chat about our top four.
You know what? This was almost hard because there wasn't as much to choose from.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I wish there was more to choose from. Like we said, like I wish he had had a chance to have more of a career. Because there's such... like
depth.
Hints of such like greatness.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to see more of this. I want to see more of that type of character. I want to see more of that. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh man, this is it. This is all there is to choose from.
I feel like he did quite a lot. He was quite interested in doing like biographies and really embodying like characters and getting into the kind of like psyche and portraying their quirks and personality, even if it was not pretty to look at.
Mm. And like you said, he'd be like important characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, important characters in like Black history to kind of showcase, you know, not that they were particularly forgotten, but just like shine a light and a bit more and like make a bit more of a big deal out of these people.
So it is potential that we're going to have the same choices here.
Mm.
But we'll see.
I feel like there's definitely some winners.
For me, there's three that are like the three.
Yeah.
And then like...
add an extra one.
There's a couple of ones that I wasn't keen on, like... that don't count, like the role's too small or it's Gods of Egypt. And then there's like everything else is good. There's like Gods of Egypt is like at the bottom and the Kill Hall.
Yeah.
miss me with those.
And there's a lot of stuff.
Then it's like everything else is good, and there's like three absolute standouts.
Yeah. Okay, so...
So I think we're going to have the same three. So...
So what are your favourites, though? Like your personal...
Yeah, so my four are Black Panther.
Yeah, same.
42.
Same.
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're the three that are like... I think we can both agree that those three are like... The best three that give a real range of him as an actor.
Yeah.
And they're all brilliant films.
Yeah, definitely.
And then it was just like, okay, what's my fourth? Well, a lot of these ones in the middle I like quite a lot, so I'll just pick one.
Yeah.
So the one that I think I went for, it was kind of close because I like quite a lot of the others. But I think the one that edged it for me was Marshall.
Right, okay.
What was it for you?
I put in, for my personal ones, Get On Up.
Get On Up, okay. I knew it would be one of those two because they're the other two like big buyers.
Even though I didn't really enjoy the film just because of like the character and how much, not how much I disliked him, but like because I just disliked the character. But I thought his performance was incredible,
mm-hmm.
and to play like a portrayal throughout their whole life, kind of like from when he was quite young to a. You know, James Brown when he was older.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real
difference between Get On Up and Marshall as biopics.
You've kind of got two slice of time.
You got two picks of biopics. You either try and do the whole life, or you pick one important event and zoom in on it.
Yeah.
Or the one I don't like, which a lot of bios seem to do, is like they zoom in on their last days, and I'm like, I want to see them at their most interesting, not their final days.
Yeah.
I don't like that trope.
So Get On Up was my personal favourite, but I put in Marshall.
Yeah, Marshall's mine.
As I put that forward for his IMDb top four.
For his IMDb top four. Yeah. So you would say his IMDb top four would be the same as what I picked for my actual four?
Yeah.
Well, there we go. I've agreed. That was the easiest one we've ever done. So my top four was Black Panther, 42, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom and Marshall, which is also our agreed known four on IMDb.
Yeah.
But yours is slightly different.
Yeah. I like Get On Up.
So you would just switch
portrayal
out.
Portrayal of his talent.
Yeah. So you would just switch out Marshall for Get On Up.
It's almost like the fifth choice.
Yeah.
Mm.
Agreed. Yeah.
So definitely if you haven't seen any of those.
Well, basically all those top five, I would say, are the must watches.
Yeah, get hold of them.
I think Message from the King is really underrated.
Yeah.
The Five Bloods and 21 Bridges are both films with good performances, worth a watch.
Mm.
Good concepts, but kind of not cohesive enough.
Yeah.
Skip Kill Hole, skip Gods of Egypt, and The Express on Draft Day are fine sports movies where he has like basically small scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, definitely seek them out because he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah. I'm glad I really enjoyed going through his whole career, basically.
Mm.
It was a really, really interesting thing to do.
So here's, here's the Oscars, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I can't think of a performance I think is as strong as his lead in Ma Rainey from this year. So I feel like it's definitely at least owed a nomination. Mm. Off the top of my head, I would say it should win, but I haven't seen every film from this year yet. Obviously, but there hasn't been that many films, to be fair. They've been delayed. Yeah, Oscar's going to be a weird one next year. We'll still do our Oscars game.
We'll see
what happens. But,
So, thanks, Chadwick. You've been wonderful.
And thanks, listeners, for sticking through this sort of mini spin-off project of a podcast.
Yeah, maybe we'll come back to it one day, but for now, it's on the back burner.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll probably see any updates if I plan on doing any more. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Bob Shoy. That's at BobShoy.
Yeah.
And if you want to see any of the other podcasts I work on, if you want to listen to anything else I work on, it's BobShoy.com. That's BobShoy.com. And you can see everything else. This is part of the Bob Shoy Podcast Network. And you can see the other things I work on there. So, since the last one, I'll just quickly tell you what they are. There's Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. That's my show. It's been running for over 5 years. British Podcast Award winning podcast in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Your co-host with the lovely Beef and Tiss.
Yeah, Beef and Tiss. Long-time friends, like known them since school. And we take turns hosting that one. It's really fun. And we basically talk about anything strange, unexplained, extraterrestrial, all that stuff. But we're not conspiracy nuts. We're very laid back about it. And I think the unique thing that we bring to that show is we talk a lot about spirituality, and we all have a lot of different backgrounds with spirituality. So basically, we have one Christian host, one atheist host, and one agnostic host that's open to maybe Eastern philosophies.
But you come at everything with a very open mind.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's a really fun show. It's very lighthearted, very laid back. It's only a cursory glance on each subject. It's not in depth. So that's that. There's also 5 Minute Folklore, which is a solo show I do, but with voices provided by Rebecca.
Everybody.
And especially Rick, and then some other people. Rick's sort of my helper for that show. That show is also coming to an end shortly, but that show is basically me running over different folklores from all over the world. Every episode focuses on a different country, and I pick a folklore from that country, retell sort of within 5 minutes their most famous story, and then dig into the origins and influences and histories of that folklore figure.
It's really fun.
And that is also a British Podcast Award nominated podcast. I didn't win for that one, but it was fun to go. And then my newest podcast is one that I do with Emma Apps, is my co-host for that, and we talk all about The Simpsons. So after the popularity of our Simpsons episode on this podcast, we decided to do a whole spin-off of it. So every episode, me and Emma talk about our four and one more. We use that concept from this. Favorite Simpsons episodes, we go series by series, so favorite from series one, favorite from series two. And then we also, between each series, pick another topic. Yeah, we do our favourite characters, our favourite songs, our favourite Halloween segments, all that stuff. And that's a limited series that's going to run for about a year. And they're the other shows I work on. So if you go on bobshoy.com, you can find out more about those and check them all out, and you might like some of those.
Dip in. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. And I hope you've enjoyed this run of episodes and this podcast.
Cool.
And maybe we'll be back one day, but who knows? So we normally do until next time and talk about the next actor or actress, but there won't be one.
Until next time, maybe we'll do an Oscar special. Bye.
snappy sign off. Yeah, no promises. Until next time, take care, everyone. Love
Thanks,
you lots.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You better get on out of here right now. Go, get the hell out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.